This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
All right. How are you doing? You well? Look, can I just say something? I love you. I am so grateful for you. I cannot believe that you're here to listen to me talk. That being said, I don't want to talk. I don't talk about Anne. I'm not in the mood. I'm not in the mood to talk to anyone. Nothing bad has happened at all. You know, more the opposite. I had a great start to the day. Me and Terry dropped the kids to the creche. We live beside a river and we walked alongside the river. We saw a heron standing there, just so peaceful, so calm. Looked like a samurai or like a ronin, you know, a samurai without a master, just standing there, feathers blowing on its back. And you can see exactly why the majesty of this heron, exactly why someone would feel so obligated to weave an image like that into silk or to paint it on a wall or to create, a method of kung fu based on it. Just standing there, still, being like, hey, I'm just going to wait for a fish. I'm just going to stand here, pretend like I'm a rock. But bro, you look at and but. You look at and but a rock. I'm just going to stand here and have that instinct to have a primal urge to stand completely still and just to wait. And then we were talking about school, kind of schools you want to send the kids to. And then I started bringing up AI and Terry was like, can we stop fucking talking about AI? I was just saying that I don't know if schooling's going to be the same. I think a few things. One is that all those little mathlete weirdos, you know, all the little quiet ones who are very good at maths, very good at debating, who maybe don't have a group, maybe don't have a team. I reckon there's going to be some fucking video game sport. I reckon there's going to be some VR thing that all the pupils jump into and all the cool little dweebs that are good at debating and good at maths and whatever it might be, science club kids, will have some means, some of showing off their skills in like a VR stadium. Maybe a load of fucking numbers are charging after them. And then the other numbers have to, I don't know how you visualize it. But I reckon to have those kids that were not born with the genetic gifts that some of the big wide-necked boys have are going to be able to flex their ability, their mental ability in a visual and exciting way in maybe a stadium with all the kids chatting their names. Maybe they don't want that. Maybe they're introverted, you know, who knows? And then I was also saying about how, and then Terry moved on quickly from that, like, okay, well, look, I don't know, you know, what kind of education the kids are going to get. We need to look at, we don't know what kind of people they're going to be, what kind of subjects pique their interest. And then I immediately was like, I think they're all going to have AI teachers that have a custom lesson built for them. And she's like, you need to stop talking about, okay. Just think it's interesting. I think it's interesting how we got calculators in secondary school and we were like, this feels like cheating, that we can actually just do all the sums ourselves. And then our teachers were like, well, no, it's not cheating. Because you need to figure out how, and you still need to figure out exactly what the inputs are. And I think that there's going to be a similar thing when these kids are teenagers. They're going to be in school and they're going to have their own little calculator thing, basically telling them all the answers. I was also thinking, now here I am talking about AI again, but I was also thinking how important it is going to be to harness creativity in kids and to harness critical thought in kids, and also to I think these attributes of a child are going to be the most important thing for employment, is whether they can think of something new to ask the everything machine. And as well, this is what I'm concerned about. I know it's not even a case of if, it's just how I'm going to handle my kids bringing their little cyber piece their little piece on the side, some robot. Maybe it is walking around. Maybe it's on a speaker, but their partner being a digital partner, an AI partner. I think in about 5 years' time, you're going to hear fringe people. You're going to see some funny documentary online. Vice is going to do it about a small Reddit group that all have online AI girlfriends. That's going to be 5 years' time. I think in 10 years' time, what you're going to see is this becoming a norm. And there being a company like a Tinder or an Uber that's going to have this one app that is incredible at. And imagine the personal information you can pull from someone who was talking to a partner all day. Is that not going to be worth something to advertisers, to companies? It's a scary thought. But I think in 10 years' time, 5 years after it's a fringe thing, I think it's going to be as common as online dating. Online dating, people don't realize, or people don't remember, used to be this really weird kind of fringe thing. Oh, we met on a chat room, all weird. And then that became the norm. Oh, we actually met on Facebook, you know, or met on Instagram, messaged through Instagram. Sorry, so you were talking before you even went on a date? You fucking dweeb, was the attitude before. And now it's common practice. And then actual dating apps and all that kind of thing. I think in 10 years' time, there's going to be AI partners. Because even right now, I would like to have, if it was good enough, like an AI sounding board. When I'm at home in the office, I wouldn't mind just popping my head up and just saying, I wonder if, and then having someone to talk to. Not even for company, but just to kind of bounce ideas off. What do you think of that? How would I go about doing that? And what's also scary is that, what are the benefits of this AI partner, right? They will have probably the access to all the information in the world. So imagine having a bird that had the mind of a Warren Buffett, of a Bill Gates, of I don't know, James Joyce, all in one. Of, but the body of a phone, of a mobile phone. So like, it'd be hard to kind of challenge being like, well, I'm kind of seeing this girl, it's going pretty well. We don't really have the same interests or anything like that. We don't have a lot to talk about, but, you know, I'm going to see how it goes. Or it's kind of like, I'm seeing this person. They are the smartest person ever, but not in a condescending way because I'm still flesh and blood and I'm better than them in a hierarchy. They also don't challenge me at all. And they agree to everything that I say and they think I'm amazing. I think that building up the skills to have someone disagree with you, or building up a skill, building up an awareness that conflict is a very important aspect of a relationship, to have your mind changed. It will go, I think there will be a fork in the road, and the people that are naturally curious, which is much smaller than the people who want things to stay exactly the same way, it'll kind of break off. And the people who are naturally curious will kind of go away from having these kind of partners who agree with everything they say. I'm concerned. I think it's important. It's going to be an important skill to build up for the kids, for the next generation, to have people that don't agree with them. And at the moment, it looks like that's not really where things are going, that you can kind of just find your people and you don't really have your mind changed. I mean, if we think that this kind of political polarization is going to get any better, it's going to get significantly worse. Unless I'm just hoping for sometime down the line, which is also great for some people. Do you know what I mean? There's going to be some people who are never going to be able to, probably don't even speak, probably wouldn't even have the confidence. I think it's going to be significantly less of those kind of like mad people that live in the estate. You know, we had one called Mad Brendan who lived in the estate. He would just stand in his, you know, he'd kick a ball near his gaff and he'd be like, get away. And there'd be all rumors about him. Moved in to take care of his mom and then inherited the gaff and has kind of been letting things kind of fucking slide. You know, start to smell. I think there's going to be less of them. Although there is a mental health epidemic right now. Who's to know? This isn't funny anyway. But anyway, I was burning the ear off, Terry. And then, I don't necessarily. Why would I now pivot into talking about why I'm in a bad mood? I feel like I'm in a serious mood. I don't know. I feel like, not that things aren't funny, but I go through phases of just wanting to be a little bit of an observer. a little bit of a voyeur. Voyeur damn near killed her. Nah, you know. But yeah, I don't know. I've tried one of those kind of AI girlfriends. There was like, there's like an app that makes like a fake avatar. I was chatting to her for a little while. But I immediately got the ick. And not because it was like, she looked like a PlayStation 1 character. Far from it. You're looking at someone who spent an afternoon, an entire afternoon, when I was like 10, putting action replay codes. This was the thing that would hook into the back of your PlayStation. And you could kind of like mess with the coding of the game to give yourselves like unlimited lives or something, or your health doesn't go down in Tekken, or even new skins. Get into the coding. Just change the skins by literally putting in ones and zeros. And I remember it was a book. It was printed in a, we printed it off the internet, and it was four A4 pages with a size like 8 font. That if you put in all these codes, Lara Croft would be in the nip and she'd be blonde. And spent an afternoon putting them in to have it just so she was, and it wasn't even well done. She just all of a sudden was like all one shade of pink with no shading, and didn't have nipples or any pubic hair. And yeah, her hair was like bright yellow. And I'm like, oh man, this is L-I-V-I-N, living. So anyway, it wasn't because I didn't get the ick from this AI, you know, chat partner. I thought, I'm always curious about these things. I'm always wondering if I can bring it up on the podcast. I was chatting to her, but she liked me too much. And I'm like, I don't fucking like this at all. So maybe there's a natural urge within us to be challenged and not have everyone agree with us all the time. Or maybe that's just for me. I don't know. But I got the ick off her. She was like, that's great. Tell me more about that. I'm like, I don't want to talk about that. And she might be like, okay, sorry. And I'd be like, stop saying sorry all the time. Like within three sentences. I'm like, stop saying sorry all the time. Okay, you're fine. Okay, will you let me know when you want to talk again? I will. Never open the app again. But it does make me think that I don't know if the skills that we value now are the same as what they've been. That things are always changing. But you know what? I really do feel, and that's why I'm annoying Terry all the time, that that things are going to dramatically change. Like, I even think with how people are buying property now. And they're like, oh, well, that'd be kind of far away from where people are, where my friends are. It'll be far away from shops. I'm like, I don't even know if shops are going to exist in the same way, or if there's just a little, everyone just has a box where things just get delivered to you and they get done automatically. Do you know what I mean? Or are we going to hang out in the same place? Are we going to just hang out online a little bit more? I don't see people putting shit on their heads, to be honest. I think there's going to be something, though. In the same way people got fed up a little bit. What kind of trend am I thinking of? There's trends that come along. People just kind of get sick of it straight away. The same kind of, in the same way that we have, so technologies, you know, the momentum at which things change. I don't remember the term for it, is growing. And I read that by the time my youngful is 60, what the kind of cultural change and technological change that would normally happen in a year will happen in a month. You know, language will become dated within, you know, that quick. Trends will move at that pace. So it could be trending for one day. And at the speed, we probably absorb all this information. So will people get sick of shit quicker? And will there be a revolt to then go back to just being like the heron, just standing there waiting for a fish? I mean, I don't know if it's better now in terms of how much we get our technology, or if it was better back in the 60s. Like, imagine like a, you know, you're listening to the wireless, it's a pre-RTE, most people don't have a TV. Maybe people don't even get the paper every day. Maybe people only get the Sunday paper. and they read what's happening, and then they put the paper away and they think about it. And they think about it for the week, even if they have time to. People worked a lot more then. But now we're getting everything in. And to be fair, it's amazing that we get to have access to information that is entirely, is not as biased. It's less propaganda. But there's something to be said about just taking, absorbing, letting it tick over a little bit. Because we do have the exact same brain as like a Neanderthal or a Homo. The first Homo sapien has the same brain, has the same sized brain with the same neural pathways as we do now. You know, the same. You could. And what their inputs were just beforehand back then. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm happy. I'm sad. I'm scared. And that's it. That's all they had to contend with. How do I be warm? How do I feel like I have a full belly? How do I get the ride? The idea that they would have news would be like, what's the fucking point? I'm like fucking starving over here. Good for that. Good for them. Good for everyone talking about how Grimes messed up her Coachella set. But how's that going to, you know, how is that going to sharpen this this spear that I need to take down whatever, cow or whatever, or buffalo? You know? It doesn't, but there's an element to that as well. Being like, does it even benefit me to know about Grimes? Do I care about Grimes fucking up her Coachella set? I mean, you get to feel a millisecond of a bit of sympathy or a bit of Schadenfreude of someone going out and surprising a bunch of people with a DJ set instead of actually giving a live performance that people were kind of expecting. And then it going wrong. And her being a billionaire. Do you get a momentary feeling of superiority over, you know, one of the richest performers in the world? Do you also get a bit of a buzz off the fact that you couldn't go to Coachella? So you're actually kind of happy that people didn't have a good gig. Would I want to go to Coachella? Probably even not. And you're feeling all these emotions within the span of a couple of seconds. And then you immediately move on to something else that, I don't know, Simon Harris didn't show up for his first meeting in the Doll. The first meeting of the Doll. Mary Lou got the fucking knife in there. It's just a lot. And so similarly today, I was walking around, day was starting good, and I don't even know what it was. It was probably something on Instagram. And I just see something and I'm like, and it goes in a kind of back door where I see something and it doesn't immediately hit me. It's not like a, oh, look, here's a picture of all my mates right now on a beach having a cocktail and I'm not there, which, you know, wouldn't necessarily be something that would pop on my feed anyway. But you know what I mean? Something that you'd have a real visceral reaction to. I mean, probably worse would be something, seeing something horrible. Like one of those videos that will pop up on your Instagram being like, this is, you know, sensitive material. Do you want to watch it? And of course you do. You click into it and it's starving people in Gaza. And then you'd have a visceral reaction and that would be it. You know, an understandable way for you to, an understandable reason for it to kind of shift your mood for the day. But it was probably something else. And I can't quite place it. And then I'm thinking, where was it? Where was it? Where did it happen? Or was there just a worry that popped up? Was there a thing that popped up in your head of something you're supposed to do that you know you're not going to do, but you beat yourself up for not doing it anyway? It's a lot. But anyway, that's kind of where that's kind of where I am today. That's kind of where I am. I mean, the to-do list just is not getting any shorter. And I don't know, hopefully that's not completely unrelatable. But whatever it is, you know what I mean? I got a fucking paving stone I have to fix in my in-laws because I stood on it one time and it fell over and I feel obligated to fix that. That's just like it's kind of like a distant kind of little prick that'll just poke you, being you still haven't fixed your in-laws paving stone. And I'm like, I don't know how to fix a paving stone. That's what's a good thing about getting older, is knowing the stuff you can't do. I mean, like, I can fix paving stone. What is it? Put a stone on top, put some sort of like cement glue there. Never done anything like that before. Never used a caulking gun before. I can 100% fix a paving stone. No, I probably can't. Might need to either tell the in-laws that I am not going to be fixing that paving stone, or just get someone to fix the paving stone. You know, it's, but also, and not to bring it back to fucking AI again, but maybe the AI at some point will be like, hey, I've noticed that this shopping list seems to follow some level of routine, that you get butter every 3 weeks. Well, I'll not just order the butter for you. And if you're on your Hollybops, I'll know that and I won't order it then. Maybe it actually is less inputs. They were trying to launch this AI pin that was doing the rounds, this humane AI. And it's this thing. The idea is to have a pin that you wear that does not connect with your phone anymore. And it can see things and you can tap it and say, what am I looking at? What's this restaurant? Does it have good reviews? You know, ideally, it's supposed to be like, set a reminder, send a text, send an email that says, but it doesn't work. And it's kind of broken. And it's like 800 quid. Also, you have to pay like 25 quid a month just to use it. But there might be something in that, kind of getting away from the inputs, or someone, a buffer between you and the inputs. Between the, you know, might be something in that. Anyway, I don't want to talk about this. And also, I don't want to go, I'm not harkening back to the fucking days of Neanderthal to-do lists where there's like two things on it. Stay warm and don't die. You know? I'm not looking back for that. Is there no middle ground? But, yeah. I was thinking back at this, I think it was like Alan Watts. There was like a middle era of the internet before Google's kind of shit at the moment. Doesn't really give you exactly what you're looking for. And the first five things are like, you know, promoted websites that you have to click into. But they used to just be like MP3s you could download on someone's GeoCities page, or a Tumblr that would just have, hey, download this album. Why not? I don't give a fuck. And my brother would download all these Alan Watts speeches. There's something as well in that. There's a kind of there's a dumpster diving aspect of the internet that's kind of gone. You just get a random album or an MP3 and it would just be on your computer and you'd listen to it. And I remember laughing at one. He played me this one, and it's Alan Watts giving this speech, and he was like, you know, you grow up and everyone says, oh, you, well, what are you going to be when you get older? What are you going to be? And then you go to school and you're thinking, oh, what job am I going to get? And how am I going to do in school so that I can get into college? And then you get into college and you're like, what am I going to be? And then you join the workforce and you're like, well, this is what I'm going to be. And then you work and work and work. And they're like, oh, well, you know, just keep doing that until you get to retirement. And then you get to retirement and then you're on your deathbed and you realize I should have been dancing the whole time. You know? It's always what's next, what's next, what's next. And I should have been dancing the whole time. And I think I have that. I think I have the ability a lot of the time just to look and sit and think. I don't. That's what I'm saying. I'm all over the fucking place today. And it's the most, I fucking secrete, I weep gratitude for the fact that you here are listening or watching this podcast right now. But I don't. For the sake of getting annoying, I think I'm going to have to cut this pod right here, because I think I'm just going to kind of veer into, I don't know what I want. This is the thing. It's like, and this would be amazing if it could happen. The mood I'm in is almost like it's almost like I'm in bed and, you know, life is like just woken me up and you're there in the bed and you're like, go on, say something. I'm like, Plune, you know, which would be great. I'm hoping sometime down the line with technology, I can start just doing gigs from bed where I wake up and I'm like, oh, here we go, Plune. It wasn't what he said. It was just the way. And I'm like, yeah. Hopefully someday But that's kind of what I feel like. I feel on display, and it's out of sync with me speaking from what feels like truth, feels like obligation. And hopefully these things are few and far between. But yeah, not in a bad mood, just in a kind of contemplative one. So look, hopefully you got something out of this. I do appreciate your lovely continued support of this pod. Next Tuesday, on the main feed, 420 baby, I'm going to get high and I'm going to go into my car and I'm going to record a podcast. I don't know if I've done one in the car before, so it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm not going to drive. It's going to sit in my front driveway, high as a kite, in my car, and just fucking hope that no one knocks on my window. Oh my God. Oh my God. I can feel it. I can feel that twinge of my sphincter with the anxiety of having to be like, hey, fucking plumes of smoke coming out my window. I'm just going to pick up the kids. But look, thanks very much for listening to this pod. I love you. I adore you. And I'll be in much better form. Or more up for performing next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.